Let's turn in the Heidelberg Catechism to question 104, page 58, as we take up this morning the fifth commandment. Question 104, I'll read the question and let's respond aloud with the answer. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them, as is proper, when they correct and punish me. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. And in God's Word, the Bible, we turn to Exodus 20. And we'll read the first 17 verses. Our focus this morning will be on verse 12, the fifth commandment. And before we read God's Word again, let us bow to pray. Father, it is our heart's desire, as we sang, to know your precepts. Revive in us your righteousness as we hear your word read and explained. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read this passage, remember the first two verses are introduction. The Lord is reminding his people who he is and what he has done for them. He is reminding them of the covenant. And then verses 3 through 17 are the Ten Commandments. Hear then the word of God, Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Again, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Much loved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of you may be thinking, I can take a nap through this one, because it's for kids. Maybe someone else is thinking, yeah, shape up, kids. Come on, Let's see some respect around here. Is the sermon just for kids? No. The fifth commandment is for kids. And some of what I say this morning, and Lord willing next Sunday, will be directed especially towards children and teens. But there's something here for everyone. Children and parents, adults, whether single or married, employers, employees, teachers and students, church members, whether you're leaders or not. This is a big commandment. This takes in all of us. We'll begin this morning by seeing the meaning, and including in that this time, including in the meaning, seeing briefly what's forbidden, or how do we sin. And then next Sunday, if the Lord tarries, we'll take up what he requires of us and a promise. As we honor those over us, we honor the Lord. That's the sermon in a sentence this morning. As we honor those over us, we honor the Lord. And we'll unpack that. The meaning, then, first of all, of the fifth commandment is suggested already by the placement of it. The Ten Commandments are divided into two parts, what we call tables, the first table and the second. The first deals with our relationship with God, vertical. The second deals with our relationship with others, horizontal. So let's think for a moment about where the fifth commandment fits in that scheme. We could say, since honoring parents and those in authority over us is a way of honoring God, that it fits in the first table, vertical. Or, since it addresses relationships with people, it belongs in the second. You could argue it both ways because it fits in both. Honor is like that. Honor is like that. If you honor one person, you are likely to honor all people. If you honor the Lord, you are likely to honor those who are created in his image. Honor begins in the first table of the law, in our relationship with God. And it shows then in the second table, our relationship with others. Commonly, the fifth commandment is put in the second table of the law, and that's where we'll think of it as well. Motivation comes from the Lord, as does motivation for obedience to all God's commandments. But evidence of that shows in relationship with others. Then let's think about the meaning of honor. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the Hebrew word for honor means to make heavy. Isn't that interesting? To make heavy, not on a bathroom scale, but in terms of importance. We say of someone, you know, that when that guy speaks, his words carry a lot of weight. And we all know what that means. When that person speaks, people listen. What he says is important. When we honor God, what he says and who he is carries a lot of weight. He and his word and his will are important. When we honor father and mother and all those in authority over us, same thing. The Catechism uses the words love, be loyal to, obey, submit. We all know what that stuff means, but boy, doing it is another matter. Think of your relationship with God. parents, alive or dead, boss, police, president, teachers, church leaders. Can it be said of you and of me that we love, are loyal, obey, and submit to them? Like all things in the Christian faith, these things are matters of the heart. They begin there. And then whatever is there shows out here. So outward disrespect shows trouble in the heart. A troubled heart in relationship to the Lord, first of all. While respect and honor, whether we like the person or not, whether we agree with the person or not, God calls us to respect and honor, showing a heart that's right with God. So the beginning of sin, or what is forbidden, is not difficult to see then. It's dishonor in the heart that will show in disrespect to others, whether that's God or parents or whoever it is. Let's think back to our Savior in this regard. Think of Jesus in Nazareth. Here is God in the flesh, perfect, honoring and submitting to his imperfect parents. Have you not wondered often what that home must have been like? When Mary or Joseph would say something that they wish they could take back, or in the heat of not Jesus' disobedience, but one of his siblings, and there is the perfect Son of God watching. I wondered often what that home was like. But Jesus, perfect, submitted and honored his imperfect parents. Then he repeated the fifth commandment in Matthew 15 and 19 as a way of pointing to himself as the lawgiver, God, who is to be honored above all. John 5:23, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So we look to Jesus with honor as our God and Savior. And of course we look to him as well for forgiveness, because we do not fulfill this or any other part of his law perfectly. Then let's think about the importance of the fifth commandment. And here, something by G. Campbell Morgan, a late Irish pastor, really sets this commandment in neon lights. Morgan said, quote, "The importance of the fifth commandment cannot be overestimated, as all the subsequent commands concerning human relationships will be easy or difficult to obey according to the measure of obedience rendered to this one." End quote. Those who have difficulty in commandments 6 through 10, in other words, you can trace it back to 5, honor. Let's consider the importance of this commandment in 3 areas: parents, children, and church members. Consider the importance for parents. In God's eyes, parents are God's representatives in the home. That's pretty heavy stuff. When a child is too young to grasp who God is and how strong and powerful and wise and loving and gracious God is, they look at mom and dad. What God is to an adult, parents are to children. Lawgiver, provider, protector. Happy is the child whose mom and dad show and tell an accurate picture of the Lord, their covenant God. And happy are the parents who so love and honor the Lord that it's easy for the children to love and honor them. The key, parents, grandparents, is to act honorably. If you honor the Lord and your parents, alive or dead, and all those in authority over you, your children will learn to honor, and that'll become part of who they are. Realize, we all do, that we don't do this perfectly. That our sins often include dishonor. But honoring the positive side is not likely. It may not even be possible without your teaching it at home in word and example. Then the importance for children. Not grown children, but those here, young and teens. When you're 4 years old or 6 years old or seven or eight, it's pretty clear what you're supposed to do. Obey what mom and dad say. As long as your parents don't require you to do something naughty, as long as they're not saying that you have to do what God says is bad, you need to obey. So how are you doing, kids? Did you know that when you disobey your parents, you dishonor them and sin against the Lord? It's true. And did you know that when you honor your parents and obey them, God smiles at that? That's true too. But when you're 14 or 16, it begins to look different. Obedience to rules is still required, but now your heart begins to show. Have you internalized then not only the rules, but the reasons for the rules? It is so important to know why you do what you do. Do you have respect for your parents and those in authority, and does it show? How are you doing, teens? Kind of on the spot. The upshot is that your childhood obedience must become adulthood respect. And you will receive God's blessing that comes with obedience. Let's think then about the importance of the fifth commandment for church members. If we as people of the book do not obey the Lord in this regard, why would we think anyone else would? Others do because of common grace, but the call upon us is so clear and so strong. We of all people should love our neighbor as ourselves, beginning with the body of Christ. Remember the central idea for this commandment. As we honor those over us, we honor the Lord. Or the flip side of that, dishonor of others is dishonor of God. 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? See the relationship again of honoring God and honoring others, of how the fifth commandment fits in both vertical and horizontal. Then in Hebrews 13:17, there's a word that connects church members with elders and pastors. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So joy for all of us as we submit to those in the church who watch over your souls. And I will tell you, when the elders and I gather to pray and discuss the needs of the flock, we take that seriously. We take seriously that we are responsible for the care of your souls. And there is joy for us when there is response to the Word of God from the pulpit and personally. And the other part of that verse has to do with profit for you, gain for those who do submit to those who watch out for your souls. Obedience for all of us to those who watch as under shepherds of our God and Savior. So parents, children, church members, but really, this is important for all, regardless of age or marital status or children or no children. This has to do with relationships with everyone. God's intention in our homes and church and schools and government and your neighborhood and everywhere is that He would be honored and obeyed in all things. Glory to God is not just a slogan that we could put up in church. It is the way we are to live and breathe. Honoring God, which shows as we honor others. And we see and savor God's sovereign presence in every square inch of life, beginning in a Christ-centered, God-glorifying home. A little historical note to this commandment. In our society, the nuclear family has been the norm for a long time. Mom, Pop, and the kids. And we, as an aside, grieve to see that decay and rebellion against God's word in our society. But for many years, thanks be to God, that has been the norm. In Israel, it was a little different. There was mom and pop and the kids, but also the older generation, grandparents, were in the home too. So when you understand that, it's easier to see the broader meaning of the fifth commandment. God is telling the adult children not to neglect or treat harshly their aged parents. And maybe those old folks can't help with the physical work anymore, but they had an important responsibility in the home to tell the stories to the youngest generation of God's faithfulness and providence from years gone by, and to remind the young folks how the wages of sin is death, but obedience is the way of life by God's grace. In such a home, God's covenant promise in the past and in the future was lived out in the now, every day, as respect for the aged was prominent. And so it should be today. So it should be in our hearts and our homes. Respect for older people. Respect for all those in authority over us. Grandparents and parents telling the children the faithfulness of the Lord through the pleasures and pains of life. Parents, grandparents, and all of us who have some life experience under our belt, tell stories to the children. Tell the stories of how, well, let me share one of mine, if I may. We had two children and no food left in the house. Not enough to make a meal. We've had some lean times in our lives, and that was one of them. And we came home from something and found a bag of groceries on our front porch. No idea where that came from. Except God, in His faithfulness and providence, moved somebody to bring food to our house. We tell that story to our kids. You have stories. Tell them to the children so that they recognize God is alive. God is good. God sees me when I have need, and He loves me. Again, looking to Jesus, who honored His earthly parents, and who through His perfect life and sacrificial death enabled us to call God Abba, Father, so that we might be children and heirs. And when you disobey the fifth commandment or any other or all the others, humbly confess and plead the blood of Christ, which washes us, washes away all our sins, and He restores us to fellowship with the triune God and with each other. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll see more applications of the fifth commandment to our lives. This is big. This affects all of us in all our relationships, and it is one filled with great blessing. For now, remember this, if you would. As we honor those over us, we honor the Lord, from whom all blessings flow, and to whom belongs all honor and praise and thanksgiving. Let us pray together. Covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, our Lord, we give You praise this morning and honor for who You are, our God, our Father through Jesus Christ. We give You thanksgiving for the wonder of salvation and for Your Holy Spirit who lives within us and leads us. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that You will lead us in this day and this week in paths of righteousness, that we will honor You, the triune God, and those around us. And this we pray for Jesus' sake.